Okay, so good morning. First, let me thank the organizers for giving me the opportunity to tell you about one of our experiments here. And it's going to be experimental analysis of a 4-photon entangled Dicker state. An experiment that was done together with Christian Schmidt and myself in the group of Harald Weinfurter. And we had some collaboration with some theorists, Wiesław Laskowski from the group of Marek Czukowski in Poland, and Enrique Solano and Geza Tut, who were at this time at the MPQ in Garching. And I also don't want to miss our new guys, so Witlef Wieczorek and Reinhold Polner are now also in the experiment continuing with some further developments. So I will start with a short, giving some short point of view on multi-qubit entanglement, which will be useful in this context. I call it pairwise versus symmetric entanglement. Then I'm going to show you the experimental setup we used for the observation of the state and some experimental analysis, including a tomography of the state, entanglement detection via some entanglement witness, the violation of a certain Bell inequality that is tailored to this state, and the behavior under protective measurement, which gives some quite interesting property. So for 3 qubits, since this classification of Dürr was introduced in 2000, at least in the pure case, everything is quite clear. We have these two classes of genuine tripartite entanglement, the GZ and the W class, and they cannot be converted into one another via stochastic local operations and classical communication. And this means that basically you need some quantum channel between the parties to convert the states. Now, they have a lot of different properties, and what I want to point on here is that a GZ state as a graph state can be, say, easily done by a pairwise interaction of qubits. So we can entangle a pair and entangle another pair, and we get a GZ state. Now, the W state is, in the W state, the entanglement is obviously somehow due to the symmetrization, and one could say start with a bit string, say 0, 0, 1, and we symmetrize this and we get the entangled state. Now, for 4 qubits, everything is much more complicated, and that's why I want to take this point of view to just look at certain 4-qubit states, which are, there are 2 graph states and 2 states which you get via symmetrization of such a bit string. So the GZ and the cluster state, as well as the W state, have received quite some attention. They were all prepared experimentally. And what is in some sense still missing is this state, which we call D42. And it's, this is the Dicker state I'm going to talk about. And this is how you would write it down. As far as I know, there has not been much research on this state so far. And why do we call it the Dicker state? Well, actually, it's a symmetric Dicker state with 2 excitations. So the Dicker state means it's an eigenstate of the J-square and JZ operators with these eigenvalues. And if we talk about a state which is symmetric under permutation of qubits, then the total spin is maximal, say, J equal to 2. There's 5 of these states for the 5 values of M, 2 of them separable. Then we have a W state, and the spin flip W state denoted here by a W bar, and the Dicker state for M equal to 0. Now, how to prepare this state in the lab? We did it in the polarization degree of photons. So this is the notation for this one then. And the most efficient store still for getting this number of photons at once is spontaneous parametric down conversion. And as I said, it is not good here to do this state with linear optics. It's complicated. I actually don't know how one would do it. But it is easy to just make a symmetrization of the qubits. So this famous picture here is slightly changed. We take a collinear configuration for the down conversion, pulsed UV pumping, and the 2 degenerate case emission cones are just touching, and we get in first order a horizontal and a vertical polarized photon emitted in this mode. And as we have a pulsed laser, we have this second order emission as well. And there are two horizontal and two vertical polarized photons emitted here. And before we distribute them onto four modes, we get rid of the UV beam. We do some special filtering via single mode fiber and spectral filtering via this 3-nanometer bandwidth filter. And three non-polarizing beam splitters serve to distribute the photons under the condition that a photon is detected in each of the four modes. There are some phase shifts introduced by these beam splitters between horizontal and vertical polarization, which we compensate for with these birefringent and yttrium-vanadat crystals. We always use pairs in order to get rid of dispersion effects. And we have this usual polarization analysis consisting of a half and a quarter wave plate to set the basis, and a polarizing beam splitter with detectors in each output mode to get the two eigenstates of the corresponding basis. This is how it looks in the lab, pretty much like in the scheme, the three beam splitters, the yttrium-vanadat crystals, and motorized translation stages, rotation stages for the wave plates. Now we have about 60 fourfold coincidences per minute with this setup, and this allows us to do a measurement of a full tomographic set. So that's 81 measurement settings, and for the data you see, this was in 35 hours of measurement times. I depict here the real part of the observed state and the real part of the ideal state, and in the upper part you see nicely that we observe the right contributions being high. So this is the in the diagonal, these are the six elements, and here the contributions between them. And on this picture you can see a little bit better that there is some noise, and also the bars are not equally high. Of course we have some experimental imperfections. Still, the fidelity is quite high with 84.4%. And I want to say just shortly something about these imperfections. Well, we have a loss of coherence, so the photons get a little bit distinguishable due to this finite bandwidth of the filter we use. We have some higher order contributions from six photons events that enter, and a smaller effect is that this phase compensation is really hard to align perfectly. And of course there's a little bit Poissonian counting statistics entering as well. I want to continue with the entanglement witness, which allows to detect four-partite entanglement in this state, and gives also some insight on what the entanglement in the state is like. So this is the witness. It was introduced in these publications, mainly by Gita Todt, who was collaborating with us. So we have a certain bound for biseparable states on this Jx square plus Jy square expectation values for this four spin system. So this is this funny bound here, and the Dicke state which I show you is violating this bound, and one can also see the reason. If you rewrite this, it's just J square minus Jz square, and as you saw, we have a total maximum spin but a vanishing spin in one direction. And this contrast gives you the violation of this bound. Experimentally, this is a quite good entanglement witness, as you could, in principle, if we didn't have photons, but some system where we cannot address the qubits, the single qubit, one could do this by a collective measurement of this Jx square and Jy square. And that's only two measurement settings necessary for this. And the experimental result is, in our case, 5.58, which is clearly exceeding this bound. Now, another nice insight into the correlations of the state can be found by looking at the Bell inequality. And I want to, for this purpose, I want to show you how it is constructed, more or less. And without explaining it, I want to start from the GZ argument. So usually it's n for 3 qubits. You have these three correlations, anti-correlations actually, and local hidden variable theories would predict the anti-correlation for this fourth one, but the GZ state gives you a perfect correlation. And it doesn't change anything if we make this for one qubit more in this way, and we get this moment type inequality with a value of 2 maximally for locally hidden variable theories, and a violation of with a value of 4 by the GZ state. Now, this is all in the plane, in one plane of the Bloch sphere, so it's the XZ plane where the correlations are. And if we look into another plane and take the same GZ state, then we don't find these kind of correlations here. And therefore, the violation, if we take this both into account for a Bell inequality where you have now three settings, is much lower. If you take a look now at the sticky state I'm talking about, then we see that we don't have perfect correlations in both of the planes, but we have pretty high ones. So it's minus 2/3 for these in both planes, and therefore the violation is higher. And this is not just a trick you play for a certain GZ state, but you could, Wieslaw showed with a numerical calculation that if you do any SLOCC operation on this GZ state, you will never violate this bound of 5 for GZ states, which is violated with this sticky state. And experimentally, with the 3-nanometer filters, we can violate the Bell inequality, unfortunately not the bound of the GZ state, so we really wanted to violate it and tried with the 2-nanometer filter, and here you see that this coherence is a big issue. So we violate this here, which shows that you cannot decompose the state such that you have GZ and, say, separable states. You need something that has this kind of, say, Dickestite state-like correlations inside. And as a last point, I want to come to this property under projective measurements. So we have these four states from the beginning, and you can go from this GZ or cluster state via a projective measurement on one qubit. You can get for the other three qubits such GZ class states. Actually, you can go to a GZ state, and for the W state, you can go to this W state of three qubits, but you cannot come from here to this class or from here to that class. The question, what is the case for the W state? And one finds that for a projection on vertical polarization, you find this W state, but for a projection onto a superposition of horizontal and vertical, you find this W minus W bar, which is a spin-fit W state. This state is then called a G state, and it's GZ class. So you have these distinct classes, the W class and the GZ class, and you cannot easily go from one to the other. But you have this 4-qubit state, and via just the local projective measurement on one qubit, on the same qubit actually, you can go to both of the classes. Now, to complete this picture, this is a measurement, so you see the density matrix of the observed W state with a fidelity of 88.2%, and here the W plus W bar with the coherences between the two for this G state, and one can actually show that both of these states are genuinely tripartite entangled with a similar entanglement witness like we used for the Dicke state, and here's the bound for biseparable states, and it's violated for both of these states here. And I want to note here that the scheme how this W state is produced here is just what Yamamoto and co-workers were introducing as a way to get a W state in 2002, just with optimized beam splitting ratios. And now I want to complete this picture. So from the Dicke state, you can go to both of the classes, and you go to this G state and principle, which we of course didn't do. You could go with stochastic local operations and classical communication to a GZ state. So I see that I may have another minute, and therefore I can maybe show you shortly what happens if we lose two photons of this Dicke state. So we just trace out two qubits, and we find the state here. This is the density matrix from the measurement. It has a fidelity to the expected state of about 97%. And what is important here, that it is still quite highly entangled. Something that we also know from the W state, that there's still a lot of entanglement left. And if we calculate the singlet fraction, we could, in theory, get 2/3. And in the experiment, we get 0.62. And there's some contrast now between the W state and the Dicke state, where the W state gives the highest concurrence for this qubit pair after tracing out two qubits, but the Dicke state gives the highest singlet fraction. And the singlet fraction is actually what is decisive if we want to think of quantum telecloning. So if we take the state distributed between four parties, and we have this pair just between Alice and Bob, Alice and Claire, and Alice and Dave, we have this state. And if you use this as a source of teleportation, so we do a Bell state measurement here and teleport the initial state to any of these parties by this not perfect Bell state, then we can do optimal averaged telecloning. That means we don't have the same fidelity for all input states, but in average, the optimal one. And if we reduce, if we look only at the equatorial plane of the Bloch sphere, we would also get covariant, optimal covariant telecloning. Now, in conclusion, I have shown you a setup for the observation of the state with this fidelity of 84.4%. We could detect the four-partite entanglement with a certain entanglement witness, and violate some specially tailored Bell inequality. Then we showed that it connects in some way the two Ganyan tripartite classes of entanglement, and I shortly showed you that one can do tele-cloning with a state, and what I didn't have time for anymore is you can also do some probabilistic open destination teleportation at the same time. So this, you can read about this in this quant PH paper.